Okay, how many of you guys have no idea who I am? Good. Excellent. We met this morning, that's good. Alright, well, it's an honor to be here with you guys. I didn't know if Fitch knew this or not, but purity is, like, I just have a passion for purity. Sometimes I have these speakers that they come and they tell you like all the bad stuff and all the horrible stuff they did in their life, and you know they're telling you now like, you know, I regret it and stuff. That's not me. I grew up in church, grew up in a Christian home, Christian school, been in church my whole life, and I'm honored. It's such a God, it's a God thing. It's such grace. Because I'm not coming from the side, you know, I don't have the testimony like, I, you know, I was eating out of the trash can and, you know, God, you know, struck me with lightning and I got saved, which is great. That's awesome. If you have that kind of thing, that's great. But I have a different type of testimony where God has just, by His grace, protected me through from a lot of things. But also, having said that, how many of you guys go to a Christian school? How many? Okay. Then you guys know that not everyone who goes to a Christian school is actually a Christian, right? I mean, that's like, you know, some people have this kind of misdemeanor thing, you know, they're like, Christian school equals Christian. Not true at all. But let's pray. There's so much I want to unpack today, so much I want to unpack. And what I want to do, my goal, is I want to take like a hand grenade and throw it at True Love Waits and explode it to where True Love Waits kind of sends shrapnel and different fragments into every area of your life. To where, I was at, have you guys ever heard of Boys State? Not Boyce, but Boys State? Yeah, okay. It's some sort of honor scholarship type thing. Girls State, yeah. And, you know, yeah, they took me in the room, they're like, we selected you for this, you know, scholarship thing. And I'm like, oh, great. And I went to it. Yeah, don't believe them, you know. Anyway, it was great. But I was there, it's a bunch of guys, all week. And we went to this, like, we're on Tennessee Tech's, you know, campus, and they have this Walgreens type convenience store, and I was in there, and this guy next to me, I didn't even know this kid, we were walking by because, you know, after you've had a certain amount of food for a week, you kind of want different food, like, you know, especially if it's like dorm, college food, you kind of want a different change, and so we're there to like raid the snacks and everything, and we're walking by this aisle, and this guy turns to me, and he sees like, you know, the sexual protection area, and he makes some joke, you know, about how he needs protection or something, and I looked at him, I turned him a straight face, and I go, dude, do you want to know the best protection you could possibly have that works every time? And his face, you know, just like brightened up. And he's like, yeah, man, tell me. And I was like, abstinence. It works every time. And he looked at me and he's like, dude, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And so what I want to lay before you is that you can do that, not on your own, but through Christ in you. And I want to take this idea of True Love Waits, and I want to just, I just want to shoot it in every area of your life, in your mind, in your thought, in your heart. And True Love Waits, here, I remember I was in, how many of you guys are in 7th grade? 7th grade? Anyone? Okay. When I was in 7th grade, I had my Sunday school teacher teach on True Love Waits. And I remember sitting there thinking, he was writing these verses on the board, and the only thing that was going through my mind was, how close can I get to the line without crossing it, without sinning? How close can I get and be okay? Okay. That was my thought. Okay. If that's your thought this morning, and it may very well be, you've missed True Love Waits. Missed it completely. If your only idea of True Love Waits is sexual purity, virginity, if that's your only thing on your mind, you're missing so much. You're missing so much pleasure that God has for your life. And what I want to do is I just want to unpack that this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to have to book it. I got 20 minutes. Proverbs 5, and then turn to Psalm 16. Proverbs 5 and Psalm 16. Let's pray. Dear God, I come before you with hearts heavy, my heart heavy, Lord. God, raise up a generation, Lord, with clean hands and a pure heart. God, please help me articulate and to unpack what your word says. May it glorify you, may it honor you, God, I pray that you would just raise up people who are radical, who set the standard for purity in a way that honors you, honors their future spouse, and makes an impact to eternity for your gospel. I pray this in your name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5. Who's got it? Everyone have it? Okay. Read with me. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and that your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey. Does honey taste good? Does honey taste good?
Yeah.
Yes. Garden of Eden. What, okay, flashback, Genesis. Garden of Eden. What did Eve do in the garden?
Ate the apple.
Ate the apple, okay? Ate the fruit, right? Ate the fruit. The fruit, the Bible says the fruit was pleasing to the eye. It looked desirable. But God had told them not to eat it, right? She eats the fruit. It looks pleasing. And then what happens? Death enters the world, right? And we're here. Don't have this misconception that God is holding something out on you. God doesn't make rules arbitrarily. He doesn't make rules randomly. He doesn't sit back in heaven and say, I'm going to make this rule just so I can make my people miserable. And I'm just going to decree this law in order to make them suffer and make them not have fun. That has nothing to do with our God. That's not what God is doing at all. God sets up rules for our pleasure in Him. So the first point, I'm going to give you 5 things this morning. Do you have pens, papers? If not, remember them. 5 reasons why true love waits is so significant for your life. Number one is pleasure. Pleasure. Psalm 16, verse 11. Check it out. Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Did you catch that? All right, everyone, listen here. Look at me. Did you catch that? With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Here's the deal. I never knew this growing up. I'm going to give you 2 ways to fight sexual purity and that you need to know. First one is in Scripture, flee. If you're in a sexual temptation, the first thing you do is flee. Right? Joseph, Genesis, right? What did Joseph do? He fled Potiphar's wife. Right? You flee. 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality. Matthew 5, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, what do? Pluck it out. Now that's radical, right? Pluck it out. I have a friend. My friend, I have his laptop in my room in my dorm. He came to me and said, hey, I'm struggling. Can I lock your laptop in your closet? Yeah, sure. Take radical action. If Facebook is a struggle for you, get off Facebook. Delete it. You'll be fine. Second thing, but here's the most important. This is what I want to stress. No one ever told me in high school that I really benefited from. John Piper said this, fight fire with fire. Fight fire with fire. When you have a fire that's out of control, you use fire to put it out. Do you guys know that? It's kind of oxymoron type thing. You use fire to control an out of control fire. Because fire can't burn over where it's already been burned. So here's what I'm going to kind of place into your brain. When people tell you that you're missing out on pleasure because you're staying sexually pure, that's a lie. In fact, if you're sexually active, you're ruining your pleasure. You're ruining your pleasure. Scripture says, pleasure's at God's right hand. The most pleasurable thing in the world is God. And God sets this rule of keep, Hebrews 13 verse 4, keep the marriage bed pure for His glory and our benefit. Because here's some things you miss out on. You miss out on intimacy. You miss out on intimacy. I had a friend this past week, and this is going to kind of just like rock some of your worlds, and it's okay. I'm all about rocking your world. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set the standard. Set the standard in faith, love, hope, and purity. Set the standard. My friend came to me, he goes, Sean, I wrote this awesome poem. It's a guy. Guys, it's okay to write poems. Don't. Don't look at me weird. He came and he says, you know, I wrote this poem for my wife. You know, oh, that's so sweet. You know? He's like, but man, I gave it to this girl and we just broke up. And I was like, you wasted the poem that you prepared for your wife on this girl and you just broke up? And he didn't have any idea about, he didn't have any idea which direction this was going. But his point was this. I wanted to save that intimate thing that I wanted for my wife. Joshua Harris talks about an article he read of an interview of a porn star. And the pornography star, she said this. She made a really interesting statement. She said, I'll do anything on camera. I'll do anything, you know, that my job requires me to do, except one thing. I will not kiss someone. I will not kiss someone on camera. And she was asked, why won't you do that? And she said, that's the only thing that I have left for my boyfriend that we share, that I haven't given away. That's so backward. But she understood something that we miss. Intimacy. How seriously do you take intimacy in your life? We miss out. When Proverbs 5, look at Proverbs 5. Check it out. Look at the last part of the chapter. Verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow into the streets and streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. Solomon has this idea of water just flowing out and this pure water just getting muddied up in this muck. That's what sexual morality does. It ruins pure water that could be pure, safe for someone else. It infringes upon your pleasure and your intimacy in marriage. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with me? You following? So when you're tempted sexually, fight fire with fire. First, flee the situation. Fight fire with fire. Say, no, I'm reserving myself for the pleasures that are at God's hand. I'm thrilled that I get to be able to stand before my wife on my wedding day and say I saved myself for her. I'm thrilled about that. But even more, I'm even more excited about being able to stand before God and say, by your grace, this gift you've given me, I saved and did your way, followed your path. And then I'm able to say that all the mess ups in my life have been redeemed. And I'm pure in Christ. That's pleasure. C.S. Lewis said, C.S. Lewis said, we are ignorant people who mess around with drink and sex. When infinite joy is offered us, we are like children who are playing in the slums with mud pies when there's a holiday at the sea right down the street. Sexual immorality infringes upon your pleasure. Don't buy into the lie that you need it to be happy. Happiness is in Christ alone and in His path. The most pleasure, the extreme bliss, the most ecstasy you can experience in your life is found in Christ and following His path. And now this is going to just like blow some of your minds. The question is, why are you refraining from sex until marriage? What is your motive? C.S. Lewis said, the perfect man does nothing out of duty. Does nothing out of obligation. If you had a girlfriend or boyfriend, and I wouldn't waste your time in high school, but that's not why I'm here to talk about that. If you have one, and they came to you and said, you know, I got this Valentine for you. I got this Valentine, and I'm just going to give it to you because I have to. That would be kind of a slap in the face, wouldn't it? It would be kind of an insult. You want them to want to give it to you, right? What is your motive? Is your motive, well, I have to do this rule because God says it. You've missed the point. It's not you have to. It's you want to. It's you want to serve your Creator. Here's something else. This is going to, some of you just going to hit you. If worship in your life and at church and on Sundays is not the most pleasurable thing on earth for you, you've missed out on true ecstasy. If meeting with God alone is not the most delightful thing you enjoy, you don't know what pleasure is. You've missed out on why you were created. We're created for God's pleasure, to find pleasure in God. So first off, reasons true love waits is more than just about sexual abstinence. It's about your pleasure. It's about your intimacy. Don't waste any part of your intimacy. Girls, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your emotions. The first time I kiss my wife will be on our wedding day. I'm pretty excited about that. Some of your minds just went, that was radical for me when I was in 7th grade. Never even thought, never even wanted that. What crazy person would do that? It's about pleasure. It's about Christ. It's about God. It's about, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying, why not? Why waste it on someone else? But anyway, that's not why I'm here. Pleasure, intimacy, lifestyle. Lifestyle. Man, I could spend forever talking about this. I heard someone use this illustration. I don't know how this illustration is going to hit you, but it hit me. Milk is most pleasurable. A glass of milk is most pleasurable when it's pure. Right? When you drink milk, you want pure milk. Would you drink milk that had a teaspoon of dog urine in it? Unless you're Bear Grylls, unless you're like Survivor Man, I don't think you would. Here's the point. A lot of people who claim to love the things of God drink urine-filled milk all the time. And what they watch, and what they read, and what they look at, and what they say with their mouth, what you intake from the world is what you become and what you put out. What you intake is what you partake in. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And what you watch, what your movies you watch, is it pure before God? Because if it's not pure, you're infringing upon your pleasure, you're infringing upon your intimacy, you're infringing upon your life, you're separating yourself from the bliss of your Savior. Be careful, it's a lifestyle, it's about what you say, it's about what you do, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality named among you, for it is not honorable among the brethren. Fourthly, it's about faith. It's about faith. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11. Here's what we do. When we say, okay, yes, I know God says pleasures are at His right hand. Yes, I know that, but I'm going to partake in a movie I shouldn't partake in. I'm going to participate in something I shouldn't participate in. I'm going to look at something I shouldn't look at. And what we're doing at heart is a faith issue. Because what we're doing when we say, I'm not going to live the way God wants me to live, I don't believe God when He says pleasures are at His right hand and He has the best possible life for me to live. It's a faith issue. Look at this. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of a Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. It's a faith issue. Moses said, yes, I can enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin for a while. And sin is fun for a short time, unless you're a believer. And if you're a believer, sin is not fun. Sin is not fun if you're a believer, because it separates you from the thing you love most. But Moses said, I'm going to trust God that He has eternal pleasures, and I'm not going to waste my time on these cheap, worthless, imitation things. I'm going to flee the situation, and fight this temptation with the pleasures of God, and use faith in that way. So do you believe God when He says, eternal pleasures are at His right hand, and that He is the most delightful thing on earth to experience. Fifth thing, this is the most important. True Love Waits is about the gospel. It's about the gospel. Marriage is a picture of what? What is the purpose of marriage? Why did God create marriage in the garden in Genesis in the Garden of Eden? Why do we have marriage? Ephesians chapter 5 says marriage is a picture, a fleshly, tangible picture of the gospel. Think about it. Christ, in Revelation, the church is called His bride. Christ comes, He lays His life down for His bride, He redeems His bride, He takes them, they become one, and He takes them to heaven with Him. That's what marriage represents. Marriage is about the gospel. Marriage is about laying your life down for someone you love in a faithful, committed relationship for the rest of your life. That's what Christ does. Christ says He never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's why God says in Malachi He hates divorce. It's because it ruptures the covenantal relationship of the gospel. So how does that flesh back down into sexual morality? Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9. Okay. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. True Love Waits is about the gospel. Why does God take such a serious position on abstinence and on purity in every aspect? He does that because anything less than purity before the marriage bed is a distortion and a perversion of the very thing which Christ died for. Christ died to redeem us, to purchase His bride back, and if that is a picture of marriage, or marriage is a picture of the gospel, then saying pure is a picture of marriage, which represents a picture of the gospel. So True Love Waits is about a gospel-centered issue. Does your life reflect the gospel? That's why when God says He pours out His wrath upon the sexually immoral, it's because they twisted and perverted the gospel. So the guy at Boise State that I was talking to, he said he needed protection. He needed much more than that. He didn't have a sexual issue. He had a salvation issue. He didn't need protection from an STD. He needed protection from a holy God. He needed a mediator, a Savior, to intercede on His behalf. What does it say? God's wrath is coming, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're pure, I challenge you this morning to take that up a notch, set the standard in purity for your own pleasure and for the glory of God. If you've messed up and failed in some area, whether it's mentally, whether it's in your heart, whether it's physically, whatever area, ask God to redeem that. And He will. You know, another reason why sexual sin is such a crucial deal. When I was in 7th grade, I had a perverted mouth and mind. And I was a slave to it. I was a slave to it. I couldn't escape it if I tried. I couldn't break free of the habitual sin. I couldn't break free of just saying things that were perverted, perverted jokes. I couldn't stop saying them. I was a slave to it. Jesus says in John 8, those who sin are a slave to sin. Are you free? See, sexual immorality threatens your freedom. It threatens your intimacy. It threatens your pleasure. It threatens your lifestyle. It threatens your freedom. Are you free? Are you slave to some sort of sexual sin? In your heart, in your mind, whatever it may be. Whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. There's freedom in Christ. Romans 8 says, those who are in Christ, there's now no condemnation. How seriously do you take purity in your life? Because the more things you're pure in, the more pleasure you'll have in marriage. The more things you save, the more things you'll have to give away in your intimacy. Last thing, I'm done. Psalms 24, verses 3 through 6 says, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He does not lift his soul to idols nor swear by what is falsely. Such is the generation that seeks Him, that seeks the face of God. Do you have clean hands? Do you have a pure heart? My prayer is that you will be a generation that raises the banner of the gospel high through purity. Because purity is about making much of Christ and exalting and glorifying Him in the gospel for your pleasure and His glory. It's awesome. It's incredible. Let's pray. Dear God, my prayer is that there's someone here who is in chains, enslaved to their sexual sin, whatever it may be, however it manifests itself in their life. God, I pray right now they would call upon the name of the Lord. They would confess their sin, and You are faithful to forgive them. And Lord, I pray for those here who are pure. I pray, Lord, that they would commit their lives to You for purity, for Your gospel, and for Your exaltation, and that they would do it with joy and find pleasure. And Lord, I pray that they would find pleasure in You, since You are the only and the only satisfying source. God, the water You give springs up into eternal life. Please move and work this morning. Give us clean hands and a pure heart. Let us be a generation that seeks You. In Your name I pray. Amen.